This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. So, have you ever felt unprepared? Whenever I get really busy, I start to wonder if I'll ever get anything done. And whenever I have times like that in my life, I sometimes have this horrible dream. In fact, others have told me that they have a similar dream like this one. Simply put, in this dream, I'm back in college. I wake up one morning and I realize that I need to take a final exam for a particular class in just 1 hour. However, to my utter horror, I then realize that I have never attended this class all semester, not even once. My exam for this class is in just 1 hour, and I am totally and completely unprepared. I'm just curious, have any of you ever had a dream like that? Wow, a few others here. Boy, I remember in the midst of that dream, I'm just panicked. And then, of course, when I wake up, I have huge relief. I realize it's just a dream. However, let me tell you about something that is not a dream, but very, very real. Simply put, one day we must all stand before God, and He will examine our lives. And the result of God's examination will determine whether you spend eternity in hell with the devil or whether you spend eternity in heaven with the Lord who loves you. The question is, are you prepared for this? Last Wednesday, our sermon text was Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 2. We learned how God's people back in 800 BC had rejected Him. They chose to serve the false gods in the nations around them. And in addition to that, they ignored God's word and willingly embraced sinful thoughts and sinful words and sinful deeds common in their culture. And they refused to repent of them. Now, God used Isaiah and other prophets to warn them, but Israel refused to listen. They refused to repent. And as a result, they were not prepared to meet the Lord. Therefore, last Wednesday, we learned how God eventually disciplined His people by sending the pagan nation of Babylon against them. Many of God's people were taken as slaves to Babylon, and they lived there for 70 years. However, God brought about spiritual blessing from this horrible suffering. As a result of God's loving discipline, His people eventually repented of their sins. And as repentant sinners, they were finally ready to hear and believe God's wonderful good news. In fact, listen again to last Wednesday's reading. Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. And proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Last week, we learned that we can't pay for our own sins because the price is just too high. What's the price? The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Not just physical death, but eternal spiritual death in hell. But the good news is that our sin has been paid for. This is God's double grace. Jesus suffered the punishment we deserve when He died on the cross. Because of Jesus, we are forgiven and holy in God's sight. However, as I discussed last week, this awesome mercy that Christ won for us does us no good if we are not prepared to receive it. You see, if a person clings to his or her sin, if a person sees no need to be forgiven and live a new life, then such a person cannot receive God's mercy. It's like trying to give a nutritious meal to a person who has completely stuffed themselves full of junk food. Such a person will eventually turn up his nose at a good meal because he's already stuffed himself with other food. In the same way, we sinners can be tempted to turn up our noses at God's mercy in Christ when we are gorging ourselves with spiritual junk food. And what is spiritual junk food? It's the various sins that we think are good, that we think will benefit us, and that we have no intention of giving up. My friends, as long as we're comfortable with our sins, we will be uncomfortable with the message of the cross, because the message of the cross means an end to our life of sinful rebellion against God. So then, what needs to take place in our lives in order for us to be prepared to receive the forgiveness that Christ has won for us by His death on the cross? Well, I want you to listen again to the first stanza of our sermon hymn. Prepare the royal highway. The King of Kings is near. Let every hill and valley a level road appear. Then greet the King of Glory, foretold in sacred story. Hosanna to the Lord, for He fulfills God's word. Do those words from our hymn sound familiar? They should. They're based on tonight's reading from Isaiah chapter 40. Listen to it again. A voice of one calling, in the desert prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low, the rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. These words of the prophet Isaiah were finally fulfilled when John the Baptizer was raised up by God to prepare the way for the promised Savior, who would be the Lord Himself in human flesh. In our reading from Matthew chapter 3, we heard how Matthew quotes from Isaiah chapter 40 to show how John was the fulfillment of this prophecy. God used John to prepare the people of His day to meet their Lord. But that leads to a question. How would the people be prepared to meet their coming Lord? Here's what John preached. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Then Matthew tells us that the people who heard John, they confessed their sins and they were baptized. They were baptized in order to receive the forgiveness that the coming Lord was giving them in holy baptism. You see, God wants to forgive all people. But people cannot receive this forgiveness if they don't take their sins seriously. Therefore, God prepares us to receive His mercy in humble faith by moving us to repent of our sins. That's what Isaiah means when he talks about mountains being made low and rugged places being made a plain. That's figurative language for how God humbles our prideful mountain peaks and levels our rebellious rugged places. In other words, God opposes our sin and our pride so that we will recognize that we deserve damnation and realize that our only hope is God's mercy and love. And once God gives us repentant hearts, then we're ready to receive the good news. That's what Isaiah means when he talks about every valley being raised up. The Bible uses a valley to describe a person who is humble before the Lord. That's why in Scripture it says, God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And so whenever we confess our sins in sincerity, as we did at the beginning of this service, we are thereby acknowledging that we are sinners who dwell in the valley of the shadow of death. We come before God in humble repentance. We admit that we deserve His wrath, and we long for the mercy that only He can give us. And what does God do then? Does He turn us away? Does He say, "You've sinned one too many times, forget about it"? No. When God humbles us, when He turns us into valleys, He then lifts us up. He gives us His glorious forgiveness and rescues us from the valley of the shadow of death. He forgives us for Jesus' sake. He raises us up to new life in Jesus. He claims us as His dearly loved children. He makes us citizens of His eternal kingdom. In fact, we sang about this in our hymn, didn't we? We sang, "Hosanna to the Lord, for He fulfills God's word." We sing that word Hosanna in our liturgy and on Palm Sunday. That word Hosanna is a Hebrew word. It means save us. When we sing Hosanna, we are asking God to save us. And save us He has, and save us He will. Isaiah writes, "And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." So then, what is this glory of the Lord? I have a better question. Who is the glory of the Lord? The answer is Jesus. You see, in the Old Testament, God revealed Himself to His people by various types of glorious manifestations. But you know what? The most awesome and glorious final manifestation of God is Jesus. You see, God's glory was revealed in person when God's Son took on human flesh in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And when He was born, the angels sang, "Gloria." God's glory was revealed when His Son hung on a cross where He suffered and died in our place of damnation. God's glory was revealed when His Son rose from the grave on the third day after His death. God's glory will be revealed again when Jesus returns on the final day, and then every eye will see Him. In fact, you don't have to wait until the final day. God's glory is revealed to us tonight as we receive Christ's body and blood in Holy Communion. I have a question for you. Are you prepared to meet the Lord in this holy meal tonight? Are you prepared to receive Christ's body and blood? Well, remember what Martin Luther wrote about that? Martin Luther says the following in his small catechism. He says, "That person is truly worthy and well prepared who has faith in these words, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." So if God has worked repentance in your heart, if you grieve over the sin in your life and you want to be free from it, if you long to be comforted by God's forgiveness, if you want the strength to turn from your sin and to live according to God's loving plan for your life, then God has prepared you to receive this glorious meal tonight. In fact, God first claimed us sinners as His own in the waters of holy baptism, where we received the forgiveness that Christ won for us. God continued to nurture our baptism faith through the preaching and teaching of His word that we've heard throughout our lives. And tonight, He feeds our faith even more as we approach this altar in humility to receive the body and blood that Christ gave and shed for us. That takes us back to the question I asked at the very beginning of the sermon. Are you prepared for Judgment Day? Are you prepared to meet the Lord when He returns? I'll be honest with you. The thought of God examining my life, not just my deeds, not just my words, but even my thoughts, that scares me to death. It should scare you too. To have our life laid out before God for everyone to see, what a shame, what a horror. But you know what? You don't have to worry about that day. Not if you believe in Jesus. You see, unlike my horrible dream where I was unprepared for that final exam, you don't have to panic as though you're not prepared for the final day. You see, if you trust in Jesus, then He has already prepared you. The Holy Spirit has used God's Word to give you repentance and faith in Christ. And you know what that means? That means you are completely forgiven and holy in God's sight. And so when God examines your life on the final day, there will not be any sins to see. Those sins have been washed away by the blood of Christ. God has cast them away from His memory as far as the east is from the west. If you trust in Jesus, the only thing God will see in your life on the final day are all the good works that the Holy Spirit worked through you. Many of those good works you might not even know about. So you don't have to fear the final day, not if you trust in Jesus, because He has already prepared you. Because of the wonderful salvation that God has given you, you can joyfully live your life every day in the freedom of God's mercy. Living the Christian life means daily saying no to the sin that Jesus died to save us from, and daily saying yes to God's loving plan for our lives, knowing that His will for our life is what is best. In closing, I'd like you to hear part of our reading from 1 Peter once again. These words are for people like you and me who have been saved, who have been given hearts of repentance and faith, who long to turn from sin and live our lives to the glory of the God who loved us enough to die and rise again for us. Hear these words. Prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy because I am holy." For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through Him, you believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and glorified Him, and so your faith and your hope are in God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.